Hey guys, welcome back to episode 59 of Defining Truth. Today, we're going to unpack one of the darkest realities of our time, how the progressive left has engineered a culture of mental instability, blamed it on Christians and conservatives, and then weaponized that chaos to further dismantle the foundations of this country. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the podcast. As always, don't forget to check us out at DefiningTruth.org, DefiningTruth.org, see what we're about. And give us a follow on Instagram and X for news. And please give us a follow on YouTube, where we put this podcast out. And if you don't want to just listen to us, because we're out there on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., you can actually watch our faces communicate this information on YouTube. And if you do, hit follow. It doesn't cost you anything. It's totally free, but it means a lot to us. Helps us get more info out there. A tragic shooting at a Catholic school in Minneapolis this week, committed by a trans-identified individual. This is a boy who believed he was a woman. Once again, expose the deadly consequences of a society that has abandoned truth in favor of ideology. Now, I notice that the immediate backlash is very similar as it has been with many of these other horrifying incidents. And let's just pause there for a minute and say our prayers and thoughts go to the families and the kids of this horrific incident. It's just horrifying. I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching the YouTube video that the shooter put out. I don't recommend it for everyone. It's graphic, but watching this guy who clearly is struggling with demonic possession, mental health, mix of all of the above, it's just insane. But what did stand out was it was the full fruition of radical leftist ideology. And they can't get away from this. It's intricately connected. So just right off the bat, let's jump into what happened there in Minneapolis. Brandon, you want to jump into that there?
Yeah. So a biological male, like you said, identifying as a trans, he was identifying as a woman, entered a Catholic school during mass. I think it was their first day of school, during mass, and opened fire, unfortunately killing two children and injuring 17 others. Reports indicate that the shooter had hateful messages written on the firearms. We saw it in the video, so the reports are accurate, directly targeting Christians, Jews, and President Trump. This was not random. It was ideological, and it was a hatred that was cultivated by a narrative that says that Christians are the problem, America is evil, and conservatives are the oppressors. The shooter simply followed that logic to its violent conclusion.
Yeah, at one point in the video, he's taking a cell phone video of his guns and stuff, and he's talking to himself, and you can hear the sort of demons going back and forth. At one point he says, I don't want to be here, and then he answers himself and says, well, you are here, and his voice kind of shifts,
changes. Yeah.
Another point he says something about, where is your God now? Real dark. But he definitely had messages that, like you said, we saw in the video, targeting Christians and Trump specifically. There is a real crisis in mental health, especially among young people, like we talk about all the time. In fact, we're planning a big conference coming up in 2026, which we haven't talked about much, but we will more coming up soon, because we really feel like there's a need there. There is a crisis among youth, and especially in the LGBTQ plus community, right? And Jesus loves those people, and they need truth, not lies. They need more truth, because really the people telling you the truth are the people that care about you. If you're lying to people like this kid here, we've learned now the shooter in Minneapolis was transitioned by his parents when he was a minor. So they're also responsible for his behavior. But instead of treating it in our culture today, the left has chosen to affirm this mental illness and fuel it and institutionalize it, actually. And they point the finger back at you if you disagree with them. kids are being taught or told, you know, they can change their gender at will. Truth is whatever they feel like it is. You know, it's all relative. If they're suffering, it's because people who believe in biblical values, it's their fault. We were just talking today, right? There's a school in Orange County that has a litter box in what, the classroom or in the bathroom? Or where is that?
In the bathroom, yeah.
You know, for students who identify as cats, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week with AB 495 in California, and we framed it as it's the responsibility of the parents to teach their children in the way in which they should go. The problem is this guy's parents failed him. You know, it's not clear whether he was living at home or not, but if he was living at home, like, what parent is not monitoring, you know, I'm going to say what their child is doing. If you're 25 and living at home, you know, somebody is monitoring you or should know what you're up to. You're not coming out of your room to, you know, to eat, or, you know, what parent is not going in and being a part of their child's life and kind of regulating that? His parents, like you said, you know, I don't know if he had fully transitioned, and was on hormones. He, at the very least, his parents changed his name to a female name as a minor.
Robin.
Yeah. You know, this is on them too, just as much. You know, they created and fostered an environment, whether they were feeding into his thoughts with a political narrative or they also shared a hate towards Christians or Jews. They sort of fostered this environment where violence was okay, or at least ideating on violence is okay. And then he went and acted on that. You know, the left is pushing that Christians and Jews and conservatives are these evil, hate mongering people. And he acted on it. He did what he felt was the solution to it. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to blame the guns. Obviously, you know, we think that that's just an infantile approach to this larger mental health crisis. You know, it sounds silly to say as a counter argument because it's so, you know, it's almost so simple, but, you know, more cars kill people every year, kill more children every year than guns do if you take the FBI's definition of a mass shooting and take out suicide. So is the solution to ban guns, or, you know, to make sure that people aren't speeding and drinking and driving and everything else? I mean,
well, this is always the problem you have with the world. When you reject absolute truth, when you reject the reality of God, you're left with your weird moral relativism, right? Which doesn't stand the scrutiny of any reason or critical thinking. And yet we push this on our children. We push this on culture. And so when bad things happen, since you don't believe in evil, you don't believe in good, you don't believe in God, you have to come up with some other reason. So it's always something else's fault, right? This is why you see Democrats, mainstream Democrats like Gavin Newsom in California and many others, literally dancing on the graves of these victims and children to push their radical anti-American agenda, whether it's gun rights or, you know, whatever the next issue is. They don't care. Clearly, they do not care because they've never taken any actions that change things other than, you know, trying to say, oh, it's the tool's fault, it's the gun's fault. I mean, we were talking earlier, it's quite astounding the depth of ignorance that an individual has to have to look at a guy like this, right? Clearly mentally ill, evil, dark, with the wherewithal to think like, I'm going to go and hurt children, and to completely dismiss that and say, oh, it's we need more gun laws. I mean, that's a level of kind of idiocy that's swept through this country.
Well, and I want to touch real quick too on what you said about Newsom, because Newsom is almost like a professional dancer on the graves of children at this point. Anytime a mass shooting happens,
yeah, every time
he tweeted, and this is important for any Christian in California or really across the nation, because, you know, his time in California is ending. He's going to move on and run for president. His response to this was that this happened while the children were praying, insinuating that, you know, prayer is useless and that, you know, that there, you know, God was not, you know, watching. I mean, it was just evil. And really it falls into this cycle of blame, which is a pattern that we're familiar with now, right? The system creates chaos. I alluded to that earlier with this kid, whether it was his parents or society. It encourages emotional instability under the guise of inclusion it tells children that their pain is caused by some outside force, religion, parents, conservatives. And then when someone breaks under that pressure, like this guy did, the left uses the tragedy to demand more censorship, more gun control, and more government intervention.
Well, and let's talk about that for a minute, because like you were saying, the shooter simply is following the logic to its violent conclusion, right? So the ideological gaslighting here from the left creates confused, angry, broken people. And then when they snap, the left points the finger at those who tried to warn them. So let's take a look at that, right? Because there's a cycle of blame. Now, we've talked about this in various forms. We've talked about the Cloward-Piven theory, which is, you know, you create the chaos. This is all some form of the same thing. The pattern is very familiar now, right? It's the system. The left creates chaos. They encourage emotional instability under the guise of inclusion. Then they tell children their pain is caused by, you know, religion and parents and conservatives who just don't want to let them fulfill their dreams. And then when someone breaks under that pressure, the left uses that very tragedy to demand more censorship, more gun control, more government intervention, and it just fuels their agenda. So they blame the tool, in this case, a gun, right? It could be a car, a knife, an explosive device. People have been hurting and killing each other for millennia, and it's not always with the same tool. What's always present is evil in the heart of man. But instead of holding the person accountable or the radical ideology that shaped that person, they blame the tool. It's not even about stopping evil anymore. It's about scoring political points and consolidating control, which is what we talk about all the time. Newsom specifically, every time a mass shooting like this occurs, him and other radical leftists, they seize the moment. They don't mourn. They mobilize. They call for gun bans, speech restrictions, more funding for activist programs, and they ignore morality and promote victimhood. We have an example right here in Southern California at a Temecula Valley Unified School District. There's a big debate. I'm sure many have seen this all over social media recently. They are dealing with this form now that they have for little girls who don't want to use the restroom with boys because California is still allowing boys to use girls' bathrooms. They have a form now that the little girls can basically file with the school claiming they have a mental health issue, and that's why they can't support the trans bathroom thing. So what they're doing is they're making young girls claim that they are mentally ill because they don't want to use the bathroom with a boy. That's just the level that we've stooped to here is unbelievable. So basically the tragedy becomes a launch pad for advancing their anti-American ideology, anti-Christian policies, and somehow it always leads to silencing the very people who are calling for a return to sanity, accountability, and truth. It's very sad, but nothing's going to change until we change the heart, right? But it didn't start here, so let's touch on that real quick. This really is rooted in moral relativism. And Brandon, lead us into that real quick.
Yeah, so You have philosophers like Nietzsche and Foucault and Marcuse. I hope I'm pronouncing those right. They laid the groundwork. They tore down the objective morality and replaced it with this sort of identity politics that we've seen recently, especially in America, with this cultural deconstruction. And that seed has now borne the fruit of confusion and division and violence. You look at kids like this, and you can tell when you watch the video that, you know, he uploaded. I mean, he's confused. He's kind of sort of almost coming in and out of like, I don't know what the right term is, consciousness or saying it, you know, when he's talking to, yeah. You know, he's just, the kid needs love is really what it comes down to. And, you know, you contrast that with America's founding shaped by a Judeo-Christian worldview where rights come from God. Families are sacred. The government exists to protect, not replace the individual. When you get rid of all of that and you peel all of those layers back that are the foundation of our founding as a country, you get what we've seen for, you know, centuries and millennia of just human suffering. Well, it's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, 100%. Part of the problem is we've abandoned the concept or the idea or the belief in absolute truth. And I think a lot of people today, both in politics and in churches, take for granted that we are no longer that homogenous culture that just accepts that there is a God. So when you're talking to people who don't believe in any truth at all, you have to take a few steps back. And the question is truth absolute? Well, it's easy to show that all truth is absolute. And let me talk about that for a minute. So Alfred North Whitehead, he's generally considered the father of modern relativism. He said the following: reality has no unchanging forms. All truth is in process and is never final. And all truth is changing and relative. Okay, so this concept then exploded into Western civilization. And this is essentially what you have today, right? People do not believe that there is any absolute truth. They believe that any text, you know, you take a story that you should deconstruct it. This is deconstructionalism, and then you just make it your own story and make it whatever you want. So why does relativism, as Whitehead presented, fail? Well, two things. One, relativism fails because it either affirms that relativism is absolutely true by them saying it themselves, which is self-defeating, because if you ask a moral relativist, are you correct in what you're saying? Is that absolutely true? Well, if they say no, well, then it's irrelevant, because why should I trust you? Because even your truth is relative. And if they say yes, it's self-defeating because they're claiming that they're absolutely correct. Or it claims it's just another view. It's just another relative statement. And then it's unsuccessful in establishing that it is in of itself true. So on a little tiny bit of critical thinking, this concept of moral relativism doesn't pass the test of reality. Now, that is the standard for us, is that truth has to correspond. We believe in the correspondence view, that truth has to correspond to reality. Okay. If I am holding, this pair of headphones here, this case is blue. If I say it's blue, it's true because this is blue. And what I'm saying corresponds to, you know, this objective truth. If I say this headphone case is red, it's a lie, because it's not, and it doesn't correspond to reality. Well, when it comes to philosophy and morality, you can use this objective correspondence view in the same way. The things that people say in society, when they don't correspond to reality, they are lies. They are untrue. And any time that you decide to base a movement or a political, say it's a political movement or a philosophical movement, or even live your life according to an ideology that doesn't correspond to reality, you are going to suffer for it. That is not, don't take my word for it. That is what history has shown us, that every time we turn away from corresponding truth with reality, it leads to violence and death and suffering. That brings us to, you know, this sort of last part here, which is there's a growing trend with violence against churches. This was all over the news this morning. We were watching it earlier. The Minneapolis shooting is just part of a growing trend against Christians and conservatives in general. Churches are being burned, defaced, and targeted. Pastors are being censored. Street preachers arrested. Christian values are mocked, criminalized, and cast as hateful. But let's be clear and call it what it is. It's not just a cultural attack. It's a spiritual one. Why? Because the enemy, the Bible calls the father of lies, hates the truth, and he hates the church. And the church is the last institution standing between tyranny and liberty. And why? Because the church stands for absolute truth as it corresponds to reality. And this movement in the world today, this spirit of the world, leftism, progressive Marxism, any part of the spectrum, far right or far left, that deviates from absolute truth as God presents it, is on the same team at the end of the day. They hate Christians and the church because we stand in their way. Again, don't take my word for it. This has been true throughout history. We've seen this in persecution of churches and Christianity across the known world. So just in closing, we don't win by retreating. We win by standing firm, speaking boldly, offering real hope. This culture is starving for truth, even when it lashes out in pain. And that's the difference between us and the world. We will not let tragedy silence us. We must speak clearly about the reality of sin, the power of redemption, the hope that is found in Christ, because only truth sets people free, and only the gospel has the power to heal this broken generation. We'll leave it there for today. We'll see you guys next time.